their next Speaker nominee by secret ballot. 8 GOP lawmakers are vying for the nomination, though it is unclear whether any of them will be able to secure the 217 votes needed to earn the gavel when the full House convenes for a formal election. The candidate field includes Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota, Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Jack Bergman of Michigan, Byron Donalds of Florida, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, Gary Palmer of Alabama, Austin Scott of Georgia, and Pete Sessions of Texas. One of the candidates, Jack Bergman of Michigan, said, "We had great dialogue across a myriad of questions. Wish there was a really broad range of questions. There was the sharing of ideas, the sharing of priorities, but what I sensed was a need to move forward, because that's what the American people want from us." Tom Emmer of Minnesota asked if he would push for a floor vote on Tuesday if he wins the nomination. He said, "It's up to the will of the conference." Despite the chaos of the last 2 weeks, Republican Representative Don Bacon expressed optimism when he emerged from the candidate forum. "I think we'll have a speaker by Tuesday night," Bacon said, without offering any evidence. Of the candidates, only Tom Emmer and Austin Scott voted to certify the results of the 2020 presidential election. Representative Mike Flood of Nebraska said all of the candidates have signed a unity pledge. Donald Trump spoke with at least two of the contenders, Majority Whip Tom Emmer and Republican Study Committee Chairman Kevin Hearn, over the weekend, but said he's sort of trying to stay out of the speaker's race. Trump said, "We're looking at a lot of people, and you know I'm sort of trying to stay out of it as much as possible, but they'll get it straightened out." The former president noted that the GOP's eventual speaker nominee faces a significant challenge in earning the requisite support. "That four threshold is very tough. It's a very tough thing no matter who it is," Trump said, referring to the maximum amount of Republican defections a candidate can afford and still become speaker. The national broadcaster ABC News has also covered the same story. After 3 weeks without a speaker, House Republicans are again trying to fill the top spot after rejecting Representative Jim Jordan last week. 8 Republicans are officially running for speaker after the historic removal of Kevin McCarthy earlier this month. On Monday night, 23rd of October, House GOP lawmakers heard from each candidate in a closed-door forum ahead of another secret ballot vote on Tuesday, 24th of October. Pennsylvania Republican Representative Dan Muser told reporters outside the candidate forum on Monday night that he's dropping out of the speaker's race. "I came in late and have other commitments I want to adhere to," Dan Muser said. Muser said he's helping former President Donald Trump's 2024 campaign in Pennsylvania. There are, right now, 8 candidates running for House Speaker. Dan Muser said he hasn't decided who he will endorse in the Speaker's race. "If it keeps up any longer, I think it will," Muser said when asked if the inability to elect a Speaker will cost the Republicans the House majority. CNN Cable News Network has also covered the same story. House Republicans ended Monday, 23rd of October, in a state of uncertainty as some members expressed optimism there could be a new House Speaker by Tuesday night, 24th of October, while others said they fear no candidate can get the 217 floor votes needed to win the gavel. A number of House Republicans were still undecided on whom they will back as Speaker, as they headed into a forum where the candidates made their pitch over roughly 2.5 hours. Representative Dan Muser dropped out of the race on Monday evening, 23rd of October, leaving 8 House Republicans still in the running. How Republicans are reacting? Representative Pete Sessions, one of the 8 candidates, called the meeting productive and said it really helped get us prepared for Tuesday night. As uncertainty looms over who will lead the chamber, one thing seems sure. Many members are tired of the chaos roiling the House Republicans. Representative Dusty Johnson told CNN that his constituents just can't believe that we're this bad and said the chaos has been absolutely inexcusable. Other members told CNN that their constituents back home are angry about the dysfunction in Washington as the lawmakers expressed renewed fears that the chaos could cost them their House majority. Representative Vern Buchanan said his constituents are very worked up about the GOP leadership crisis and they think all of us are incapable.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And
alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Recently, I've just been thinking about this issue that happens too much. I don't want to say it happens among women more than men, but unfortunately, there is this thing that looks like a competition. Like, every single woman feels, not all of them, of course, I'm talking about women on Venus. Well, there's this planet in which the women feel like they have to be so attentive in a competition, in an unconscious competition. Like, if my friend has got something, I have to have the double of it. If they are achieving some points and position, I have to achieve a better one. So this competition, or what we call as emulation, trying to emulate other people in whatever they do and trying to achieve whatever they have or whatever they buy or whatever. The thing that we see so much right now, I guess, this was just the definition of it. When you see someone having something and very much eagerly with a tint of which wretchedness, you just feel like, okay, I have to have it as well. Something like jealousy, maybe even. You could bring jealousy into it as well. Why? Why this thing exists among human beings, let's say?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are so many reasons for that. First of all, it's comparison, you know. We have a natural tendency to compare ourselves with others. And women especially feel this pressure to keep up with their peers or maintain a certain social status, you know. And then this leads them to the desire to acquire some possessions as others. We have been advised in Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do not compare yourself with anyone. In case, even if you want to compare yourself with those who are a little, on a lower level than you in terms of this material world. Do not compare yourself with those who have a higher
position
material
or
status.
They're having a better life than you.
Right. So comparison is not allowed. So even if you want to compare, compare with someone who has less. So the first reason that comes here is comparison, and it could be solved by just learning this. We are not allowed to compare ourselves.
And also, there's another important fact. If you wish to compare yourself with others, try to compare yourself in good virtues and as in good things.
Then there's this status and recognition. What I mean by that, some people may feel like, especially women, because we are talking about women, possessions can serve as a symbol of status and achievement. If I possess something, I have a particular status in the society. If I have this particular car, I have this particular status. People will look at me like this and like that. And, you know, this way we believe that acquiring certain items could enhance my reputation in the society. It could uplift my reputation in the society. I can gain recognition from others. It again goes back to the same thing. You know, we talked about attention in the previous episodes.
Yeah.
When there's lack of attention, then you feel like if I have possessions, if I have this and that, and then maybe I'll gain attention, maybe I'll be recognized, maybe I'll gain more reputation. So because of this reason. But what is important is to...
Just as we're talking about these competitions, I just remembered the cartoon of Snow White. And that witch that lived with that girl, she always went in front of a mirror and asked that mirror, okay, who's the most beautiful girl in this world? And she wanted to hear that, okay, it's you. It's every time she just wanted to hear the answer to all the questions she asked that mirror, it's you. It's you are the best. You're the most beautiful. You're the most talented. You're the most... I guess the same thing is applicable to people in the real world. They always want to be the best in everything.
Right. It's more tangible for women, though, because they mostly want to hear that.
But the thing that is important is that we must try to be the best in the eyes of Allah, as in being the virtuous person. We must try to compete with each other in being a better human being, not in having more facilities or in having a more prosperous life or whatsoever. So right in here, it's time to go for a short break. Yes, there are many people out there who might think that if somebody has got something, why I don't have the same thing as well, or even something better than that. You know, it's good to have effort and hardworking attitude in life, but then it's not good when it gets to be a kind of a sickness and disease. Yes, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We're talking about this competition story that looks like you want to emulate from other people. You want to compete with them and try to show everyone that I'm the best in everything. And yes, Sister Zainab.
So the reasons we were talking about, what could be the reasons behind that? peer influence, you know. Sometimes the influence of friends, the family, the neighbors, the social circles, it can have impact because women feel like they need to be fit in a particular society or they need to be accepted within a particular community. That leads them to, you know, get into this competition in buying and align themselves with prevailing trends. I think the most underlying reason is the greed. Sometimes.
Yeah. So, which has got no end in human nature.
Right. Greed. Because it starts with greed. Imam Baqir al-Islam says the worst servants are the ones whose greed leads them.
Yeah.
You should not be led by your greed for any particular thing. You know, if I'm trying to buy because it's a greed. But I should be led by my teachings, my knowledge, my, you know, different things. But greed should never lead a person. Imam Baqir al-Islam calls them the worst of the servants.
You know, there are some little hint and tinge of bad things, bad characteristics that exist, I guess, in all human nature.
Right.
And one of them is greed. So it exists in us as it comes naturally and intuitively, but the thing which is important is to just control it.
Right. So another influence could be because of the advertisements and media.
Mm-hmm.
Because advertisements and media play a significant role in shaping the consumer behavior.
Exactly.
Women are often exposed to marketing messages. They're often exposed to marketing videos that create the desire and promote the idea that owning certain products will enhance their happiness, their beauty, and their success.
Exactly. You feel like you have to go for shopping. Not
right.
that I need to go for shopping. No, there is an urge that is just taking me there without me even wanting anything.
Exactly. And that's all rooted in the ignorance.
Yeah.
Imam Ali al-Islam says knowledge destroys ignorance. So if something, you want to destroy this ignorance, the best destroyer is the knowledge
itself. To educate yourself.
Yes, educate yourself. Do not get into these.
And always try to ask yourself, okay, do I really need this thing that I'm going for?
Really? Because sometimes it's even emotional gratification. That's another underlying reason. Because the act of acquiring new possessions can provide you a temporary sense
exactly.
of happiness and fulfillment. I won't say that it does not. It does provide.
Mm-hmm.
But that's temporary. And
It would feel like, you know, shopping always would feel like a break. So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. Yes, we were talking about shopping and how sometimes we go for it without even needing the thing that we're going for. It's just, it starts from a window shopping and then ends up in buying unnecessary things that I have, maybe a couple of them at home.
Right. That's again because of fear of missing out.
And
why,
you know,
I'm not
all
there.
These things would distract you from the main purposes of life.
Right.
That is to enhance yourself, to improve yourself, to boost your knowledge, to be a better person.
Right. It goes back to that insecurity, you know, insecurity and again, self-esteem. Because some women have those underlying feelings of insecurity and low self-esteem. And they again believe that, you know, acquiring the material possessions will make us feel more confident and will make us feel more comfortable and more validated in the society.
Self-esteem and self-confidence are very important.
In women's life especially.
Exactly,
I won't say, I'm not diminishing its role in the men's life, but also in women, I think it's very, very much important. So awareness again. Awareness of the negative impacts of the consumerism and encouraging the alternatives could help. One of the basic reasons that we have not talked about so far is lack of contentment.
Yeah. Again, it comes from greed, I suppose.
So
when you are a greedy person, you would never feel that content in your life.
Right. You're not content with what you have.
Yeah.
Because those who struggle with contentment may constantly seek external sources for satisfaction. Islam has encouraged us to be content, you know, puts a lot of emphasis on gratitude. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, whoever is satisfied with what God has provided for him is one of the needless persons.
Exactly.
And also we have from a very beautiful hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says, undoubtedly a little wealth that satisfies the needs of a person is better than a lot of wealth that prevents a person from remembering God.
Exactly, yeah, that's very true.
Because there have been cases where people would come to imams, people would come to Prophet, give us the zikr to increase our sustenance and all. And imams would often say that you are better in this state because if you get a better material position, then you will not remember God.
Exactly.
So there have been stories.
You know, there's something very important. We have it in our Islamic heritage and we have it in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Those people who have been bestowed with the blessing of contentment have got a treasure within themselves.
They have God because
Imam, treasure.
Because as you said about treasure, Imam, it reminds me of Imam Ali al-Islam, who says that no one is dearer to God than a content person. Satisfaction is the means of dignity,
exactly.
Honor, and it's a property that never ends. What you want and what you need, there's a difference. So prioritize
exactly.
Your needs over your wants. Encourage critical thinking and media literacy because this is something that could really, really help you and resist the influence of, you know, marketing messages that make...
Again, awareness.
Right.
Try to be aware that this is their job. They are advertising and they're trying to lure you into things that are unnecessary. These are not the main needs of your life. Yes, this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Competing with each other, as in good things for improving ourselves, is a good thing. But competing with each other upon mundane, worldly things that are going to end in this world and that you're not going to take with you to your tomb is not a beautiful thing, I suppose. So as we all are human beings and we're prone to mistakes, we can work on ourselves and we have to actually improve our knowledge and our awareness and be aware of whatever that happens around us so that we do not get into the trap of competing with other people and the wish of wanting to be better than anyone else in this world, as in the mundane things. So thank you for staying with us, Muslim ladies. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. For your information, the holy city of Qom in Iran is indeed the foremost center of diffusion of true Islamic knowledge, with students from all over the world coming to acquire bezels of wisdom. And here is what the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said regarding the city of Qom, which is blessed by the holy shrine of his granddaughter, Hazrat Fatima Ma'sumeh, peace be upon her. Indeed, God has a sanctuary, and that is Mecca, the holy Kaaba. The messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has a sanctuary, and that is Medina. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has a sanctuary, and that is Kufa. And we, the that Ahlul Bayt have a sanctuary, and that is Qom.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en. Educational institutions in Palestine.
Part 2.
Israeli occupation offenses against educational institutions in many places are continuous. They are almost daily, and this sometimes leads to casualties and to the destruction of the buildings that are still witnesses of the killing and damage.
We are in Beit Hanun, and it is a border area. It has got many schools. As you can see to my right hand, there's Hani Naim Agriculture School. When the Israeli occupation bombs empty adjacent places, this destroys the classrooms' roofs, the places where cows and chickens are kept, and the school's walls. This also causes horror and fear among students and teachers. So the school evacuates the teaching staff and the students. Thus, bombings directly affect the study time and the students' behavior and lead to influencing their study level as a whole. Students do not attend classes in case of Israeli bombings and breaking in this area. Hani Naim Agriculture School is called so after the name of a martyr teacher who was killed in one Israeli assault. The school itself was targeted and the teacher was killed inside.
In wartime and other times of peace, and whenever the Israelis like, they bomb many schools. Some of these schools remain unreconstructed. This is considered to have negative effects on education and the Palestinian population. There are many schools in the northern, southern, and middle provinces that have the same dangerous threats. These are schools of the Ministry of Education.
Ahmed al-Shukairi High School for Males has 850 high school students. This school is by the border, and on the 31st of January 2013 at 2 a.m., the building opposite to the school was hit by two F-16 rockets. This assault caused the damage of the glass windows of the entire school. Glass fragments were scattered all over the place, and the school buildings were cracked.
As everybody knows, education is a human right wherever the person is. This is what the United Nations stated, in addition to other international entities and treaties dealing with human rights. However, this right in Palestine in general, and in the Gaza Strip in particular, is violated in many ways. It is violated by the bombs of the Zionist enemy that do not distinguish between anything. Also, there's the unjust siege imposed on the Gaza Strip from every side, especially during the recent period. This has completely stopped the building of schools.
We are now in the place of the two schools, Ma'ruf al-Rusafi School and Khalil al-Wazir School. Those two schools were removed because of the bombing of the adjacent Palestine stadium by the Israeli warplanes. This happened during the aggression in Gaza in 2012. Each school had more than 600 students. This means there were 1,200 students in total. These students were divided and sent to other schools depending on where they live. However, there are problems facing the students, their teachers, and their parents because of the students' low level caused by the big number of students in classrooms, especially in the second shift. The students also feel exhausted and not focused in this period of time.
It is true that the siege stops constructions and limits some life fields, but those in charge of the educational institutions work actively on coming up with new ways. They aim at developing education and building human skills. For example, they added the Futuwa program that includes physical training and skills, which enables students to deal with difficult circumstances and trains them to be patient and steadfast.
This program is designed for high school male students, and there is a big number of students registered in this program. That is because the student sees his character and himself. The program creates a person with a strong personality, an honest character, with morals, talents, and good manners. Therefore, many people would like to join this training and attend the intellectual lectures. They would like to join the bravery camps.
Bravery camps are meant to make students aware of many things and provide them with cultural and social knowledge. They also provide students with physical fitness. This goes along with the saying, a healthy mind in a healthy body.
The bravery program made the Israeli occupation furious. Israel has considered such programs as incitement to violence and hostility. The creators and the participants of the program believe this is a Palestinian affair and no one can interfere in it.
Joining the bravery program is a right of Palestinian students, the Palestinian society, and the Palestinian schools. According to the administrative reports we receive, we found that after the implementation of this program, the male schools became more disciplined and committed in behavior. Why are they standing against some exercises that make Palestinian students feel they are Palestinian, while they say nothing about the theology in the Israeli curriculum?
My ambition is to become a physical education teacher. After that, I may join the military service. It is known that our nation experiences wars, and this means that we should have conscription like other countries, such as the United States or European countries, in addition to the Zionist occupation.
From the depth of the siege, Palestinians try to rise and deliver the message that they are remaining to the Israeli occupation. This occupation is tightening the noose on the Palestinians and depriving many of those with general secondary school certificates from pursuing their study abroad or even in the West Bank. In addition, university instructors are not able to travel to participate in international conferences to keep up with the developments in education.
You know, it is very important for academic employees to contact their counterparts in other universities, attend conferences and regional workshops where they are introduced to the new sciences of their specialty. By the way, nearly 50% of the staff members travel to different places of the world every year to participate in these conferences. Lately, the university had to issue a new law that prevents the instructors from leaving the strip. We say this with sorrow because, as you know, the Rafah crossing opens maybe for every month or two. Thus, we cannot take a risk because if any instructor were able to cross the Gaza Strip borders, no one would guarantee his or her return.
The reasons why I did not leave the country for education were two. The first was the economic condition. We know that when young Palestinians go abroad, they would need pocket money and will have to pay for rent, university tuition, and transportation. They would also need to buy clothes and all the needs of an average student. These expenses are much larger when a student lives abroad, and that was the first reason. As for the second reason, it was the crossings and their continuous closure. When Gazan students in particular want to leave the country to study abroad, the crossing closure would obstruct their return.
Whether students graduate from a university in Gaza or elsewhere, they worry about staying home without a job in their specialty. People in charge of education experience shortage of financial support because they don't have their full salaries. This comes as a result of the deteriorating economic conditions because of the siege imposed on Gaza.
After graduating from university, most of young men are destined to remain at home. This is a complicated problem that Palestinian students continue their study at university for 4 years, paying tuition and receiving pocket money, and then after graduation, students stay at home. This is a big problem and a dilemma that youth face, especially in Gaza Strip.
We know that there are not multiple job opportunities. Usually 100 people apply to a job and the institution only hires 10 of them. Well, what would the rest do? They will have to start their own project if they had the money, or they may become workers at any company just like many Palestinians.
Despite that, and despite the hard conditions and the crippling siege on Gaza, I advise all male and female students who study at university to continue studying. We are a nation that deserves to live and prosper.
There is nothing impossible to happen because this is life, and Allah gives everyone his or her chance. If there is no chance in the current time, chances come in other times. Sometimes, as long as the person is alive, every day for him or her is something new.
The Palestinian nation will never collapse and will never be broken. The people of the Gaza Strip, in particular, are ready to carry on with a full salary, or half of it, or a quarter of it, or even with no salary. That is because they define life in different ways. Life here in the Strip means Palestine comes before everything.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this week, we're going to speak about Palestine. So be with us. Salamun
سلام الله يا قدس فداك الروح والنفس سلام الله يا قدس فداك الروح والنفس مهاد الدين والتقوى سلام الحب والنجوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى مهاد الدين والتقوى سلام الحب والنجوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى.
Today, Wednesday, is the 9th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar-Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar-Hijri calendar, and the 25th of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. We listen to chapter Al-Furqan, that is chapter 25. Verse 19.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فقد كذبوكم بما تقولون فما تستطيعون صرفا ولا نصرا ومن يظلم منكم نذقه عذابا كبيرا.
So they will deny you, disbelievers, in what you say, and you cannot avert punishment or find hell. And whoever commits injustice among you, we will make him taste a great punishment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Undoubtedly, the Quranic word zulm, that means oppression, has got an extensive concept. Though the subject of the verse is polytheism, which is one of the clear extensions of oppression, yet it does not abolish the generality of the occupied of the verse. Meanwhile, the purpose of deities is whether humane deities such as Christ or devil deities such as jinn or angel, each of which has been selected by a group of pagans for worshipping, since they have common sense and intellect, they can be questioned.
أطويه يا قدس ما زال سهم الأمس في القلب يندس والجرح في أضلعي أطويه يا قدس.
Islam and the Asia of Palestine. Loving one's country and defending its land, people, and the holy sites are a religious duty and a human right, whereas patriotic feelings and love of people and family are natural behavior as long as it doesn't contradict the fundamentals of Islam and doesn't diminish the right of others working for Palestine, whether in the national, Arab, Islamic, and humanistic levels, is working in focus, harmonious and integrated circle that must not be conflicted. On the other hand, the efforts to solve society's problems, to attain civilizational development, to establish a Muslim state, to strive for an Arab and Islamic unity, and to liberate Palestine are all integrated efforts that serve each other and mercy coexist without suffering contradictions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today we are going to talk about the issue of Palestine and the importance of this issue in the Islam world and in the whole world. From the beginning of the Islamic movement in the country in 1341, when the issue of Palestine was not commonly discussed, even by intellectuals, Imam Khomeini always emphasized that everyone should be alarmed by the Israeli domination and that everyone should stand up to them. He continued this path later on, and the issue of Palestine became one of the main slogans shouted by that divine person. The movement started by Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, revived the issue of Palestine and provided it with the support of Islamic faith, which has always been accompanied by selfless jihad. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, never gave up his support for the oppressed people across the world because of any considerations for the global bullies. He continued to describe the issue of Palestine as the main issue in his speeches and testament. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, explicitly expressed the importance he placed on Muslims' cries for help. He unambiguously defended the rights of the oppressed. The Palestinian nation and all other oppressed nations, that was the Imam's path stressed in his lifestyle and testament. The result of discord in the Islamic Ummah is the cause or the hindrance in the support in our support of Palestine. If Muslims were united today and if they relied on the spirituality of Islam, the enemy could not openly persecute and torture the Palestinian nation in its own homeland. The events of Palestine deeply sadden and agitate all moral human beings, even those who are not very religious. So our responsibility is to support the Palestinian nation. There is no doubt for that.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
In this part, we listen to a short part of leader's speech about Palestine, their responsibility to support the Palestinian nation, supporting the oppressed Palestinian people, and their valiant uprising is the religious duty of all of us. Today, a Muslim country, which is covered in blood, is calling on the Islamic Ummah to support it from the middle of the battlefield. I will never forget the Palestinian woman who was crying for help from Muslims in front of reporters, cameras. All Muslims and Arabs must voice their support for legitimacy of the Palestinian people's battle in international gatherings. It may be stressed that the defenseless people of Palestine, whose rights have been violated and entitled to fight for their lost rights, therefore, continuation to intifada and resistance is the absolute right of the Palestinian people. International laws must respect this right. Unfortunately, these laws are usually interpreted in favor of the arrogant global powers, wishes Muslims can no longer stand relentless suppression of the Palestinian nation.
يا غزة الأحرار ثوري على الفجار
to support Palestinians, read widely. One major way to help support Palestinians is to get a more accurate, nuanced view of the current situation and the history behind it. A number of academic studies have exposed the media Biased Western outlets often display when reporting on the Israel-Palestine conflict, whether consciously and unconsciously. So how can you ensure you are getting an accurate view of the conflict? Read across multiple outlets. Also, do not rely solely on the day-to-day news cycle to understand the Middle East conflict. Books offer deeper and more nuanced views on issues.
Supporting the oppressed Palestinian people and their valiant uprising is the religious duty of all of us. Today, a Muslim country which is covered in blood is calling on the Islamic Ummah to support it from the middle of the battlefield. I will never forget the Palestinian woman who was crying for help from Muslims in front of reporters' cameras. All Muslims and Arabs must voice their support for the legitimacy of the Palestinian people's battle. In international gatherings, it must be stressed that the defenseless people of Palestine, whose rights have been violated, are entitled to fight for the last rights. Therefore, continuation of Intifada and resistance is the absolute right of the Palestinian people, and international laws must respect their right. Unfortunately, these laws are usually interpreted in favor of the arrogant global powers' wishes. Muslims can no longer stand the relentless suppression of the Palestinian nation. They can no longer stay silent. Israel must understand that if it continues suppressing the Palestinian nation, they will be faced with strong, serious, and practical reaction of all Arab and Muslim. The Islam world is supporting the Palestine, there is no doubt in that. The issue of Palestine is the most important international issue of Islam. For many years, they have gradually made Muslims used to the occupation of their homes. It is not just a matter of Muslim homes being occupied. It is much more serious. The problem is that the global enemies of Islam have occupied a portion of Muslims' homeland and are using it to attack the ranks of Muslims.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. We were talking about Palestine, and we continue this topic on the next episode, inshallah. Till then, wassalamu alaikum.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the U.S. is definitely complicit in the Israeli regime's brutal aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. Palestinian officials in Gaza say Israel has dropped more than 12,000 tons of explosives on the besieged territory as death toll from the regime strikes approaches 6,000. Pro-Palestine rallies continue unabated across the globe, with protesters condemning the Israeli regime's brutal aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. Hello and welcome everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the U.S. is definitely complicit in the Israeli regime's brutal aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. Ayatollah Khamenei said the successive arrival of the heads